All right. We are going to do chapters 8, 9, and 10 this evening. And I read chapter 8 like 3 times. Did any of you guys have trouble with chapter 8? What were your impressions of it? Tammy, did you read it?
Okay, what kind of question? That's not nice.
No, I'm just asking because she was looking down, so she gave herself away.
I loved it, and here's what I liked about it.
Okay.
Not Tammy, but I'm going to step in and save you. Nobody understands that when Adam and Eve sinned, it took the shedding of blood to redeem them. God, the very first act he did after their sin is he killed animals.
Mm-hmm.
He shed their blood.
Yes.
To put the skins over them to cover their sin. The shedding of blood covers the sin.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever explained that to me before. Yeah, I knew God put skins of the animals on them. I never thought, oh, wait, to have their skin, that means they died.
Mm-hmm.
Their blood was shed. That to me, that's what the circular path is. And it will lead us back to Calvary, where the ultimate of shedding
yes.
of blood has to cover us forever from
mm-hmm.
sin. And so when I just had come upon that fact a few years ago, and no one had ever, I knew the skin thing, but I never
mm-hmm.
put it with the blood.
Well, and the whole circular thing,
makes
I mean,
sense.
We talked about it before, but
it
this really
sense.
Brings it home, I thought.
It does.
And it does. I honestly... And maybe I'm not a deep thinker, obviously. But I never thought about God having blood. But we're made in his image. So he does.
Also, it's hard to fathom that God, even though we know God knew everything that's going to go on, so he knew how we were going to fail and how this world was going to fail. And yet he still went through with it. That's
mm-hmm.
amazing.
So
he knew what's going on.
It says before the
foundation
of
the
world
yeah.
that he planned to come and save us.
Yeah.
You have to wonder why he bothered.
Because he wants a family.
He really does.
But he loves us.
I guess that's why some people get married 5, 6, 7 times. You know, because they're constantly looking for that family unit. But what are they trying to destroy in the world?
The family
unit.
And that's how you know the Satan is
mm-hmm.
against the family, that you know that's important to God, because they're always
yes.
an antithesis of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the family unit is so important to God, because we are his family, that piece is also not explained very well.
Mm-hmm.
The angels he made are one of his heavenly spiritual family, but he made us to be his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what... is so unique about this whole process.
Yeah, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think of all the people just in America who have rejected that.
His heart is breaking.
It has to be.
He has to be weeping.
Mm-hmm.
The
and
whole
you,
world.
Pardon?
The whole world.
Absolutely. And from the beginning of time, he knew this was all going to happen.
And still did.
He still gets up
because
every day.
Some of us, like I tell people when I leave with the Lord, I said, he looked down the cross 2,000
mm-hmm.
years, and he saw you, and he knew that you would be there, and that's why he stayed.
Mm-hmm.
He did. He looked down, and he saw, that one's going to receive, that one's going to receive, I'm staying. I mean, really, that's what it
mm-hmm.
was. He saw us.
Yeah. This is amazing.
Amazing.
She talked about the divine plan, as you were saying, Linda, and she talked about man would fellowship with God, would be able to love God,
mm-hmm.
to work with God, and that he wanted all those things, but he also gave us a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions. And those are the things that get us in trouble. So... But the whole circular blood thing. On page 52, Deb, would you read 1 Peter there at the bottom?
Yes, 1 Peter 1:18-20.
Mm-hmm.
For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
Knew it before the world was made.
Mm-hmm. It's very humbling, I think. Just the whole path that God took to save us. But and then the circular bloodline, like you said, the coat, the animals that had to die to cover up the sin.
Shedding of blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was interesting when you looked at the name Adam and then you saw it in the Hebrew language.
Yes.
It means blood.
Blood and dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, red dirt.
And that's who Adam is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he is. Well, totally.
Best.
Yeah.
Plus, Bishop Larry says A.M. in the morning and Eve is the evening.
Oh.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
If you take his initials A.M., you know, like the beginning and the last one.
Hmm.
Oh.
Okay.
That is interesting. And Eve is for evening.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it on page 54. Just because we've been talking about us being the plan. Oh, what a planner. Oh, what a plan. And I thought it so timely, isn't it? We've been talking about that.
We are the plan.
So Travis is getting geared up for it.
The plan?
The plan, yes. Right? Yes. And chapter 9 starts with the bloodline that was drawn from heaven to earth, and God's blood was shed, and then, or Jesus' blood was shed, and then Jesus went back to heaven. So, you know, we believe that he's going to have the scars and so on. And when he went into the tomb, he probably had almost no blood left in his body.
Right.
So that had to all be regenerated. And I hadn't thought about that
it's
either.
It's a different kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. What did you guys think about the fox story?
Okay.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's, and then when they were having, and you know, Phil's house was broken into, and we've been praying ever since.
We have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've not had any other,
nope.
Any more trouble.
Nope.
And sometimes those people come back again and again. We know that.
Yeah, getting more stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, did you learn anything about the Rahab story in here?
I had researched a couple of years ago about that. That's a bloodline. I mean, that is a typical picture of the. I mean, that's the cross and the shedding of the blood. And when you think about, she is in the lineage of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That then you start picking that story apart, and there's so many analogous parts to it that it's like overwhelming. That would take a 3-week study.
Mm-hmm.
Just that one story, and it so mimics the Revelation story, the two witnesses
mm-hmm.
that are protected, that, you know, then there's a big battle. I mean, it's like it's like mocking Satan in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
the way he's going to get mocked at the end
mm-hmm.
in the New Testament. But I wanted to share something. On page 56, when they were talking about that scarlet thread,
mm-hmm.
I was praying about that because I really feel like that's our story, what we're trying to do with this revival. I'm just going to call it revival. But God gave me the three things that we get with this. We get provision, protection, and permission by the bloodline. And that's what I told him I'm going to start praying for this revival. That we have provision,
mm-hmm.
that we have protection, and that we have permission. And that... I'm going to start praying that scarlet thread, that blood line over us as we do this.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys might add that too. We pray in unison.
Yeah, it's... You know, we all know the plagues that God sent to the Egyptians who were keeping his people. But, you know, I thought of them more as punishment, or God saying, I will show you. I will punish you until you say, okay, they can go. But she says the plague was judgment, and they were very sinful, horrible people.
Well, and they're mocking each of those gods.
Mm-hmm.
God picked the frogs because they have a frog god.
Yes.
He picked the lice because they have, you know, a god. They worship the Nile River.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of their gods. So when you do blood in it, so it's way deep in a
it
lot
is.
Of ways.
It is. But how can you worship lice? I don't get it. Do you?
Well, how do you worship a frog?
Well, if there was only one frog in the world, maybe you'd think it was special at least.
Like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, but that would, I mean, special is different than worshiping.
Well, how about a snake?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Day one.
Mm-hmm. That is very true.
Nothing creepier than a snake.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they worshiped
it, because it was so scary.
Yeah, fear factor.
Maybe.
What'd you say, Deb?
Said maybe that's why they worship it, because it did bring in that fear factor. That, I mean, sometimes when you're afraid of something, you, well, how do I want to say that? You
kind of revere it. Because,
yeah.
Let me tell you about the lice, too, that's a part that most people don't realize. The Egyptians had an uncanny fear of dirt and uncleanliness. They did. It was like they were manic about it. And they washed their hands all the times, and the priests were always, don't touch it. And so the thing that they worshipped was the sanitizing of everything. And so God brought lice on them to be the counter of that, in a way, where they actually did worship a frog. They didn't worship the lice. They were actually worshipping the not being dirty enough to have lice. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were inordinately clean. Just crazily about it. And the one of the authors that I read about it said that they were so bent out of shape if a piece of dirt got on them or anything. So God put lice on them. It was almost a flip of
mm-hmm.
what they worshipped, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That happened with Corrie Ten Boom, remember they were in that camp?
I do remember.
And they got lice real bad, but it kept them protected from the evil soldiers because they didn't want to go back there because they didn't want to get the lice on them. So it turned out to be a blessing, she
mm-hmm.
said. They kept them, you know, them protected.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine those conditions those people lived in. It was crazy. But it makes sense that the plagues were a judgment.
Yeah.
It really does.
They deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
I heard someone just say that they believe it's going to happen again. All the things that people worship, they're going to come back as plagues.
That's typical for God to do.
Yeah. They.
Well, it's kind of like, in Revelation, where they have all those, and those kind of mimic
they
the
do.
Plagues from, it's kind of from the beginning and the end.
It is
right down the road.
He doesn't have anything new.
Mm-hmm.
He has the same icky demons that people are worshiping. I mean, whether they look like a frog or a snake or whatever, people worship them and then people get punished. It's kind of the same story.
Mm-hmm. And there are
Revelations
a lot of people saying the white horse with the crown is the
coronavirus.
I've been hearing that a lot lately on some talk shows, like you had discussed.
Followed by death. Want, wars. I mean, name the horses.
So this Delta variant, what do you think they're going to equate it to?
Well,
with part of the coronavirus.
Okay.
Well, some say it's because of Arizona with the electric.
They're trying to steer you away from what's going
to
happen.
They're trying to cause a, something else.
A delusion.
Because of something that's happening in Arizona?
Can we count the votes?
The voting.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It is a diversion. Absolutely.
This is taking forever.
Yeah.
Well, they're waiting on, they're hoping they get the routers and everything else.
They're crossing all their T's and dotting all their I's.
Yeah, so they keep going on.
They say it's massive. Everything I've heard say it's phenomenal.
Evidently, because they've been working on it a really long time.
What, a couple months now?
But they're being very, very careful.
Well, they just finished their third recount. So they're finally done with that. I guess they're doing the canvas now.
Yeah.
They just started that. We'll see how
everything I've heard is it's a massive amount of
time. They're going house to house? Or okay, so that's another reason if you have the
and
Delta.
If you have the new Delta, you can't go house to house.
It's like the census. They put everybody on hold.
Again.
Yeah. So.
Lies.
It's crazy. So on page 58, in the middle, it says that Moses taught his people how to draw a bloodline the destroyer could not cross. And I guess I hadn't really thought about who actually killed those animals and those people. I mean, I know they were killed. But who is the destroyer?
Satan.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's almost like Satan was working for God. He was doing something God wanted, right?
Well, that's God can do that.
Yeah.
He can take what was meant for bad.
Right.
And turn it into good.
Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it just surprises me that Satan would be part of that unless God could make him do it. Because it obviously pleased God to have it done. And I don't think the devil, Satan, is in the business of pleasing God.
Oh, no.
No.
You know what I think? He has to be submissive to God. I mean, he knows where the power comes from.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like when it says at the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue mm-hmm. shall confess. That so... I mean, it's the only, it's just like when Christ, when they were going to do that, he said, you can only do what my Father allows you.
Allows
you to do.
It's
the same thing as when Satan, I mean, mm-hmm. he can do only what God allows mm-hmm. him to do, and if that's what he wanted, it's the same way with Nero, same way with Nebuchadnezzar, mm-hmm. all those. I mean, they did exactly what they were put there to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how Job was protected.
That's right.
Yes.
Everything
that's
exactly.
And that's why God had them put the blood on the lintel.
And you know when you look at what it was put on in the shape of a cross.
Right.
Which again points back to Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. Before there was even such a thing as a cross.
They didn't even know what that was.
Mm-mm. They just did what they were told.
That's why the Bible is amazing.
Well, it's...
You can't make this stuff up.
No, you cannot make this stuff up.
And that's when they talked about drawing a bloodline, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what he knew. Satan knew he could not
cross it.
That blood, so if it was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my guy.
Jenna, go ahead.
Telling Travis, this guy's a Jew, a rabbi. Anyway, I have a book that he wrote, and he says, because the curse began with a tree, that's why Christ had to be killed on the tree, because the curse began with the tree and he took the curse on the tree. And I never thought,
I
said,
think
you know,
about
the question
that.
That's been asked, why did he have to die on a tree? Why not something else?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because the curse began
on the cross.
The tree and he had to die, take the curse on the tree. But also, he said, the sword was stuck into the rib, he said, because of the woman coming, being made from the rib. And,
he dots every I.
The Hebrew, of course, that's what he studies from.
And it's the same way with part of that. I never thought of before.
wood, though, so it had to come from a tree, right? What else would they make the cross out of?
It did. It came from a tree.
But the thing is, he wouldn't. I mean, there's other ways they could have put him to death.
They could have hung him with a rope.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why.
Or just give him 40 instead of 39.
Mm-hmm.
Or they talked about the 40 as the
killer.
Yeah, why that one lash makes a difference, I don't know. But
because at that point, maybe all your blood is left.
That could be. But I mean, I never thought when it talks about when Moses said that you take a lamb just for that. Well, I never thought about it before, but to me, that's the reference of you have to accept Christ on your own. The one for each person. You can't, somebody else can't do that for you.
No.
That's something you each have to do. That's why each person, each family, one for each lamb had to be killed for them, because that's the only way that you can come to the saving grace of Christ is you have to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Each, I mean, so you couldn't just kill one lamb for the whole,
family.
1.5 million of those people that were coming out. So.
The grandfather what?
There's no such thing as grandfather and people to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we grandfather people into. You can't do that.
So, if you compare the Passover lamb, and I'm asking because I don't know, okay, to the sacrifices that they would do on the altar that they would bring to the priest. They were doing that for cleansing of sin.
Well, they weren't only lambs.
No, they would
do. Would be bulls, they would be.
Yes, but it's still blood.
Birds. Yeah, yes.
It was different, though, because they had that blood drain out.
Right, they had a trough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a mess.
They had
what we do not understand is how bloody the sacrifice is. You kill a bull, you want to talk pools of blood? That's why they had to have a channel that ran out.
So, what did they do with the blood? I mean, when they have Passover now.
Well, they don't slaughter. Now they don't. They don't have an altar. They can't. The Jews.
But they did this in their homes for Passover.
I thought you meant, I don't think the Jews now slaughter animals.
Huh. You don't think those.
No, they just.
They just buy the lamb.
And
they buy the dressed lamb. Yeah, they don't do sacrifices anymore.
Well, And I get that. I get that they don't have a temple to do it in.
But they don't do it anymore.
But when God said that they were supposed to continue the Passover.
They do like we did.
They
have a Seder.
They just.
And they eat the lamb.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you go to Israel, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are not sacrificing. They're not doing blood sacrifices.
No.
I mean, the Haitian Voodoo people are. But I'm talking Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Religious zealots are not slaughtering animals and letting the blood out.
That won't happen again until the.
That won't
right?
happen again until no until the tribulation.
Tribulation.
Where the enemy of our souls promises them a new temple, and they get it, and they begin the sacrifices.
But that thing brings up another question, because Jesus was our final sacrifice.
Yes.
But the Jews didn't believe in that, so why have they not continued with sacrifice?
That's a really good question. I've actually asked Jews that. They have no answer. I said, why did you stop sacrificing? Oh, dull silence. I don't know that answer.
And that's interesting that they would stop, because they believe that blood.
Answer. Mm-hmm. I asked them, how are you redeemed? What redeemed you? Because the sacrifice is what you used. What redeemed you? And they are really stone silent when you ask them that.
Well, they don't believe in Jesus. So
they don't sacrifice.
I don't know what their hope is. I don't get it.
Most of them are lost. Most of them don't believe much of anything.
What is the Hasidic Jews?
Yeah.
What do they believe?
They're very legalistic. Yes. They are looking for a Messiah. But like most people talk when they talk about him, say they wouldn't know him if they saw him, because he already came. And they still won't know him. They will, the Hasidics will instantly cling to the Antichrist. He will be their Messiah.
Well, 6-7 months ago, remember when they had that guy?
And they said he was the Messiah.
They thought he was it.
I haven't heard a thing about
it. No. And he was taking
kind of a fat young guy.
He was taking credit for it. Remember, he was sitting and all of them were coming and kissing his hand and his feet. And remember those pictures?
I do, and I haven't heard a thing.
No, I haven't either.
That little guy sounds like a rocket.
Yeah.
Did you see that clip?
He wasn't very Messiah looking,
yeah.
But
no, he kind of reminded me of the nasty Pope. I mean, he did. Only that guy was in black, and the Pope always wore white.
Usually red.
Yeah.
Often he wears red.
Mm-hmm. He probably doesn't have anything on now.
Bones don't have much underground.
No, they don't.
And in hell, I don't think you're clothed.
It's too hot.
Whatever you have would burn up instantly, wouldn't it? I'm guessing he's not having a high old time.
No, I don't think so. So, well, I thought the destroyer was interesting, and I felt like I learned a lot from it. On page 59, I'm just going to read this. It's first, after the no. Do you see the no there? When the head of the household applied the blood to the doorpost of his home, he entered the circle of blood from the point of time in which he lived. The bloodline he drew across the entryway to his home and loved ones represented the power in the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So even though it went way back to the beginning, I mean, you can just get on this cart, so to speak.
There's no time in God's.
No, there isn't. I mean, that's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't.
There is no time.
Mm-mm. It's really.
It is instantaneous.
Mm-hmm. So, and then on that, where it says Passover continued memorial, maybe that a memorial is kind of a.
It's what we did.
It, yeah. And
that, we can thank Cole for that.
Mm-hmm.
That she taught us that we needed to be doing Seder.
Yeah.
Because God says it's about, he said, do it in memory of me.
Mm-hmm. Deviled eggs and all, or boiled eggs and all.
One thing?
Huh?
What? One thing?
She heard that.
One thing? I didn't say that. I was bragging on you.
Yes, she was, Cole.
I was saying
that. Oh, thank you.
I was.
Thank you. Because we're going to be doing it in the millennium all the time. Once a year. For 1,000 years. Oh, my. And we're going to be pros at it.
Yes, we will be. What'd you say, Travis?
We'll all know our port by the time.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be
that's right.
Forever.
That's right.
Because we're family.
Yay.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Whether you like it or not. There's a few that do. Right, Bill?
Mm.
We're your family, aren't we, Bill?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We are.
That would be something Travis would.
You know, I loved it. And I've been watching The Chosen. I don't know if you guys ever have time. It's just excellent. But I loved it when John the Baptist, now he's cousins with Jesus. No doubt as they're growing up, they've seen each other. They know each other. We don't get a lot of that in the Bible, but it has to be. Because Mary and Elizabeth were very close. But when, you know, John's baptizing for the remission of sin, he's not baptizing as a savior because the cleanliness of the priest was to cast off sin, and that picture of that was to wash. And that's what he was doing. He was baptizing for sin. And so when he's in the river baptizing these people, and he looks up and sees Jesus, who is his cousin, and he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And I'm thinking, his first public introduction was as the Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
First time we see in Revelation, John looks up and he sees the Lamb who was slain. This is a big deal.
It is a huge deal.
Huge deal. We have not made enough of the blood, ever, because the Bible is just chock full of it. From the Rahab string to the lintel string, I mean, to everything. But when you think his first public introduction,
there's no coincidences.
There's no.
it's
we just haven't picked up on
that. Well,
shame on us.
That's because we, you know, for years and years, we just heard the same stuff over and over.
Right.
And
well, I think they've been trying to keep a promise. I mean,
I think you're right.
If it's there right in front of us, but if you don't know what you're looking at,
right,
and
right,
then it probably was taught early on and slowly worked its way out.
Yeah, I agree with that. How many churches do you know that the pastor talks about the blood of Jesus?
The Catholic Church does. Not in the same sense, but it talks about how that is.
Yes. Most pastors won't touch it. They say, oh, it scares the little children. Really?
Matter of fact, the communion, it actually is that we are
taking the blood of Christ.
They do talk about
that. That's right. And we do when we take communion. We read the scripture.
We need to do that.
Yeah, we do.
We haven't done that for a long time.
We'll do that next time.
Are we going to do it the night that the Barons are here?
I don't care. What
Who are here?
You know, Joyce. Remember the missionaries that are coming? You know that?
The six?
The six that the China missionaries are coming to talk?
To us?
Yeah. To here?
Well, they're here visiting and going someplace
The
else,
sixth.
So
when is the sixth?
August.
But I mean, what day?
Friday.
Okay.
Do you not read your emails from me?
You know, once in a while, for some, I get 90% of yours, but once in a while they go to spam. And if I'm not expecting it, I don't know why it does that.
Me?
Yours, yes.
Tammy, get on her.
Unless you know you're supposed to be getting something, you don't look in your spam. I don't.
Tammy's home.
Okay, the sixth normal time and everything, and they're going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
We're just not having a study that night because they're going to have the whole. And
awesome.
My family's coming, and Claire will be here because we thought she'd be extremely interested.
That's nice.
Yeah. Well, we don't get an opportunity like this a lot, and they're going to ship out to Nepal is their next assignment, so it may be years. But Joyce said we can ask them anything because they're not going back to China. So all of the secrets, I mean, everything, scary things, they're going to tell what they went through.
How long were they there?
15 years.
Oh, time.
They got kicked out. I mean, she got out before he did with the kids, but I think him getting out was a little iffy.
No, he got out first.
Oh, he got out.
And she stayed behind with, she took the son.
He took somebody
she
with.
She stayed with the three girls, the two girls.
It was kind of hair-raising, I think, getting them all out. It'll be fun to hear.
Yeah.
That's why I said Enoch is extending.
Oh, yeah.
Probably into late September, early October.
So we might be, that might work out well.
That might work out well.
So, because we're, after next.
I'll look up my book and then I'll.
Yeah, after our August one, we'll be half done with this. I was looking at it. We could actually extend to four chapters a month, too. I mean, it's not that many pages.
No, it isn't.
I mean.
It's good reading.
Yeah, you can sit down and read the assignment in 40 minutes.
Good.
Yeah. So.
4 or 5 days for Tammy.
You guys.
I've got to find my book
first. Is that why you've got that pillow in front of you?
Yes, but hers would have all the notes.
Your bestie.
Mine's
oh,
large,
hers has
large
all
print.
The notes.
All notes and stuff.
Hey, Tammy, your bestie has that same problem.
We. I say we, and Bill just looks at me and go, we? No. He thinks it's me, and I think it's him.
Dear.
But it's really we, huh?
We. No, you won't explain
it. We are the,
which we plus me. So we're borrowing
we're
books
quickly
tonight.
Digress.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Shirley, on page 6, I need my glasses in here, I think, 60. Do you see where it says Knox translates it kind of in the middle of the page? Would you read that paragraph and that second one right there?
Knox translated, I have longed and longed. You see, the time had come when he could reveal that he was the bread without leaven, sin, which would be broken for man and come forth from the earth. He could reveal that he was the lamb whose blood was shed for man.
That really brings that whole leaven thing
oh, yeah.
front and center.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not something I'd really
thought about.
But it's true.
Did the Jews understand that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we have spring cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Probably get rid of all the leaven in the house.
But they make wonderful bread, those Jewish people.
Without leaven, yeah. It's flat, mm-hmm. flat bread.
Yeah. And then on the next page, believers living under the new covenant have the right to enter the communion of the blood, which is shed for you, and draw a bloodline Satan cannot cross. And since the Lord's passion, we apply the blood by faith. It's not a physical thing that we do. But I think this book has done more for me to remember to pray regarding the blood of Jesus and to protect things.
All the time.
Yes. Yeah, it really has. Because, you know, we weren't taught that.
We're not taught that. Mm-mm. What a shame.
It really is a shame because it's a huge part of it. But it's still alive and well. I was going home one night from here. It must have been Bible study because John MacArthur was on.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely is. He just railed about this, that he does not believe in it, that you should ever address it, that you should pray about it, that you should talk about it. And I wish I could find that because it would be interesting for us to listen to him. It was really bizarre. He was like on a rant. He was shouting.
That's kind of scary.
It was really weird. I haven't listened to him since.
Because
I like him. Generally.
That's kind of scary.
And I thought, there's too much in the Bible that talks about it for you to discount it. Mm-hmm. And to tell people to disregard it and not pray about it or use it in our prayers or our daily life.
Well, especially if the blood is the important part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the shedding of blood
mm-hmm.
is what it's the basis, the foundation
for
everything.
Yes.
There is no
without the shedding of blood.
Yeah. We learned that in Genesis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About them, their sins being covered by those
mm-hmm.
animal skins. Blood was
and
shed.
I know.
About not having. I mean, it's a tool
mm-hmm.
in a toolbox that we've never been taught to open.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right. That's a good way of looking at it.
Travis, what is that line? I hope you remember. In that song, on Gene Watson on that gospel tape he has, and he says, "He comes, Satan is coming, but he has to
come through the blood.
He has to come out of me because he has to come.
Thank God for that.
I mean, that was the purpose of it.
That's absolutely.
I mean, even if you don't talk about the blood being, you know, pleading the blood or drawing a bloodline, the blood is still the
mm-hmm.
main point that you have to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you not talk about the blood? Period. I mean, that's why Christ came
mm-hmm.
to shed blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think of so many of these old line denominations that have gotten so watered down and so lukewarm. It happened a lot with Augustine and some of those early guys that decided they were going to sanitize the Bible. I mean, they set out to do that. Constantine was not our friend.
No, he was not.
He is not a Christian, and even though he Christianized the pagan holidays, he was not our friend. Augustine was not our friend. I don't care if you're Episcopal or Presbyterian and you honor these guys. They were dastardly blasphemers
mm-hmm.
because they took out from the Bible the important things,
mm-hmm.
like Travis said. We have to have these weapons to battle. We're
mm-hmm.
helpless without the blood, without the name of Jesus, without knowing who we are in him.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who we are.
That's mind-boggling. Is one of the leading, supposedly, you know, pastors, but to be, you know, that
standing
is
up.
I'm going to try to find it. I bet if I email them.
Do a word search under YouTube with what he said. And
uh-huh.
John MacArthur
said.
And it would have been like in, this is July, it would have been in June, I think.
I didn't send it to
May, me. And maybe if, because I didn't get to listen to the whole thing. So maybe if I listened to the whole thing, what he was saying would, but it was, it just really struck me. It wasn't even what he said as the way he was saying it. That he, you know, since he was so angry about it. Did you get a book?
They gave me one to follow along.
Very good. We're on page 61.
I'm looking for it.
Speed on me. Teacher to Tammy.
I just was helping her.
You're picking on her. That's what you call the old ruler on the knuckle.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Remember that?
I would never do that.
You have to go turn it. You have to turn it on.
I was going to get Tammy some more light.
Light would be good.
We've got air.
Air. More air.
That helped. That helped. So, you know, the new covenant is the big deal. Because,
well, it's our salvation.
Yeah, and nothing worked well under the old covenant. But they're still living under it, a lot of the Jewish people.
The trouble is they're dying under it.
Pardon?
The trouble is they're dying under it.
Yes, that's right.
To a godless eternity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
That's the seriousness of this. Mm-hmm.
This author that they talk about, a leader at Keswick, who qualifies as one of the old-timers, he wrote a book. This is a pamphlet, and it. I'm going to see if I can get some of those.
Are they still in print?
Yes, they're still in print. It is entitled Honor the Blood, and he begins with how Satan tries to break down the spiritual and physical life of the saint of God. And, you know, I think there are many people that try to lessen the importance of God in the way they live and the way they talk. So, did she, is somebody else?
I thought I heard something slam out there. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I went to check.
All right. Well, thank you for watching out for us.
Annie, get your gun.
Did you lock it?
We don't know who's out there.
You know,
there.
All this walking around in the class would get you sent to the principal's office.
Oh, that's funny.
There is no principal. We always have a few like that in a class.
That's right.
Huh? They can't sit still.
And he talks about the strongest efforts of resistance will crumble under the force of hell's fury when met by any other way than God's way. And, I mean, we can't do it without him. There's no way. And I'm, you know, for most of us, and I'm not saying this is true of any of you, but there's always times in your life where you will try to go on your own and God will bring you back. I've got a lot of broken bones to prove it. So, I mean, any time I would get so busy or going so fast, I would break major bones, you know, and then you have to sit and heal and you think about, you know, I really got off course. Not that I was going, doing horrible things, but I wasn't focused, you know.
Now the truth's
going to
come out.
It is true. It is true. But, you know, a lot of people would just say, well, I'm clumsy or whatever. No, I got off the right path. And I wasn't spending the time I needed with God. So, if I come to you with broken bones, you know I slipped again. So, let's hope I don't. Okay. Deb, are you on page 61? Can you read that bottom paragraph, Hebrews 11:28, for us?
Yes, I can. There must be a personal application of the blood of Christ in order to stem the tide of spiritual destruction in the life of the child of God. It was said of Moses that through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Hebrews 11:28.
That's pretty powerful.
Thank you. We're keeping Passover.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to bless us with that.
Yes, he will. Absolutely.
We do. Thanks to Cole.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Thanks for doing it for us. I had a lot of help.
We had a lot of fun this last
time. What'd you say? We had a lot of fun this last time.
I know. I'm so sorry I missed
it. It was good.
I'd have much rather been here.
I know.
It would have been much better.
Next year.
Yes.
In Jerusalem. That's what you always say then. Next year.
In Jerusalem. I haven't had my COVID shot. I can't go.
And that's never happening for me.
No. So we've got to have it at Phil's house.
We'll have it at Phil's house.
Yep. It's the applied blood that counted. Truth was translated into action. And I think, you know, and that's what this revival is all about.
Absolutely.
You know, it's, we know the truth of what has transpired in the last, in our lifetime, really.
At least decade, for sure.
Yes. I mean, we know that we're that America and the world's going down a bad path. And we are, it's a, I think the revival is just a really positive thing for us to be doing.
That's why I said we're going to draw a bloodline around this entire place, and we're asking for provision, protection, and permission
mm-hmm.
for what we're endeavoring to do.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three things we need, and we're drawing the bloodline around this.
Yeah. We should probably walk that, too, and pray.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
We really should.
Yeah, let's wait till fall.
When yeah, when it's cooler.
Gone.
The snake, after a freeze.
Yeah, after a freeze. And it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. It would be. We remember when we walked down the road?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Prayer walk.
Mm-hmm.
We'll prayer walk around this mm-hmm. land, and we'll draw the bloodline.
Yeah.
That'll
and then
be fun. We could even have a bonfire
mm-hmm.
afterwards.
That would be good.
We've
walked
right
to school
that.
Before.
Tell me, was that when you said she has lost her mind? She's just walking around
yeah.
out there.
Yeah, walking around out there praying.
Yeah, Tom Coffin came by me. He said, "Are you all right?" Yeah, I'm just walking.
I'm
fine.
Perfect. We'll do that.
That, yes. And then chapter 10 is about Rahab, and I think she did a really good job.
Yeah.
She and it talks about her faith and...
One of the things that impressed me the most about her was the part where when she asked those two, I mean, to me, she does what we do at sometimes is she saw that she served a God that was more than enough. Where sometimes you ask for just enough. She could have just said, just save my family.
Or save me.
Yeah, but she said, and all of our possessions,
yes.
I want everything saved.
And mm-hmm. I want my whole family.
Yeah, everything. I want everything saved.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, a limit in God, and she wasn't backward, she wasn't embarrassed, she wasn't scared about
it. And they didn't make fun of her or
no.
chide her for it either.
No, but she said, I want all. I want everything, because she knew, instead of limiting his capability,
mm-hmm.
because if she would have just asked for this little bit, that's what she'd have got.
Right. And she was all in for God at that point.
Yeah.
She was a believer.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So she had asked for everything. It's like I told Mom, when it talks about when the lady with the oil, and when he said, gather all your pots. Well, she's the one that determined how much blessing she would get.
Mm-hmm.
She got a bunch.
Because she just got that many pots. If
mm-hmm.
she'd have got more pots, the oil would have kept running.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's what... She said, I want all.
Well, and I hadn't really thought. I knew that verse included her things,
yes.
her material possessions, but I hadn't really thought about what a big deal that was.
Because had she gone into the Israelite camp empty-handed, they would have been paupers.
Mm-hmm.
As it was, they went in status quo.
Right.
You know?
Maybe even more so because she hadn't been traveling for
maybe even more so
months
so
and months and months.
Had had a place of importance. Not mm-hmm. that things are important, but they kind of are to people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think I would have ever looked at it because it goes on to, I mean, I know it was in the Bible, but it says it pleased God that she asked for
Yeah, because mm-hmm. she trusted him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like when they left Egypt. God said, not only you come out and your animals,
go get all the Aries. Go get
everything's true.
You go to your neighbors and ask for their stuff.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Yeah,
and they gave
it. Yes, expensive things.
Like,
Well, think about it. They just went through all those plagues.
They did. They did.
Anything.
Get out of here. It's interesting that God said,
to do it.
Mm-hmm. You get that, bring that with you. Not just bring yourself. You get that, bring that.
And then they misused it along the way.
They surely did.
Don't we always?
I was thinking, you know, when I was reading this about the material possessions, you know, back then they didn't have what we have.
No.
When we had that tornado coming at us, I couldn't even think of one thing to take when we got in the car. You know, there's all kinds of important things you should gather up. But you just don't think about it when you're under that kind of stress. And she was under great stress because it talked about the...
Well, had she been caught, she'd have been beheaded.
She would have. And it was 2.5 million Israelites coming down on these people.
But, I mean, her own people had
been caught. They would
they
would have killed her in a second.
Oh, a second. Heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And her whole family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's interesting that, again, it shows how God uses flawed people, though. Mm-hmm. You know how he talks about, and he says, there's six things I hate, seven. Starts with a liar. And what did she do? She lied about...
She did.
Yeah, there was a gal in Bible study, and she was a dear person, but she was very much very legalistic. And, I mean, and she felt like, you know...
Right now, was a liar.
That you can't, if you do anything... Anything wrong, you know, God's going to be so angry with you. And she said, I can't believe they used her. She lied, you know.
But she
uses the imperfect.
But
you
he
know.
Also looks at the motive of that.
Oh, yeah.
The lie was to save his people. And.
Yeah.
That's what
he looks at the heart.
But you know, the thing I think is where they miss teaching about the scarlet rope that was let out is that they focus sometimes on another part of that story.
Yeah.
Rather than the
bloodline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting when you put all those pieces together that the bloodline that she let down that saved her family, her bloodline then mm-hmm. births Jesus. I mean, it just, you can't make this stuff up. Mm-hmm. It's so deep. And when you appeal a little bit, there's like something else there. It's you'll never get it all. I thought of that this last week when I was reading it, that the bloodline, the red line, that scarlet line that she let down, which is the bloodline, became the bloodline for Jesus. Because had she not been saved, mm-hmm. his bloodline wouldn't have come through her.
No. No.
Which begs the question.
Mm-hmm.
Could he have been born?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the genetics God chose.
Mm-hmm. What a mixture.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Flawed
mm-hmm.
humans.
Mm-hmm. That's what I always loved.
I love it. And he picked women.
About the world.
With throwaways.
He
picks throwaways.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the heart.
He does. And you know, we haven't implemented that lesson in our daily life.
It's the same thing, though. Of course, you know, it's you pick and choose what you believe or what you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it said the whole town, they all heard the same news. They all heard the same story.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them were filled with fear. She was filled with faith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She.
It wasn't that somebody that she knew something different.
No,
it's all the same story.
Yeah.
We all knew it.
We're all going to die.
Yeah, they're coming.
And,
they're and
the Israelites are mighty. And they serve a God that's really mighty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
America
yeah.
knows that, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like where the others said, what's he going to do for us? to do to us. Mm-hmm. And she said, "What can he? What's he going to do for me?"
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You watch me." Yeah. But and it goes back to, I try to put it in modern terms. We Americans know this God. They do. Mm-hmm. They've heard of him. They've understood that collectively. The stories, they know the Bible's powerful. Most people know that Jesus was real. The whole world changed because of him. Look at the calendar. And yet, it's still not important enough to them. Mm-mm. To change 1 minute of their
life. I thought about something today, and I don't know if that's anything to do. But I thought about, it talks about the end of the tribulation. That is for the Jews. Mm-hmm. That is to bring them to them.
It is.
And I thought today, what if this time is our tribulation?
For the Gentiles.
For the Gentiles. This time where we're at now is our mm-hmm. tribulation.
It seems like it is.
That is so funny. I just told Tammy that yesterday, Travis, that it's like this. We are like
testing
about the two witnesses. We are in the outer court.
We
are. Gentiles. This is, tribulation is God's last calling. Come back to me, Jews. My people, this is the Gentiles.
Our last calling.
That is so interesting.
I believe that's true.
That's so interesting.
And it takes us right up to that.
Mm-hmm. So, would you say that God is actually giving the Gentiles a chance? That's part of it? That he's trying to wake up more people.
Yeah.
I think he's ramping it up mm-hmm. because we're on the edge of the cliff. I mean, I just think that's how it is. We are there. There is no more. We're going to get to a point where it's rapture or tribulation. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're looking at. We are very close.
I was thinking about the same thing where it says, I appoint kings and I take kings out.
Yeah.
So, just because of what went down, that this wasn't right and that wasn't right, but I have, because of what that says, and if you believe what he says is to be true, then what is in place, whether you want it to be or not, he allowed that to happen,
to bring us
to get to this point, because of
yep.
that's when I thought, because this is our tribulation time,
yep.
right now,
and it's not the tribulation.
No,
no,
that is just for the Jews,
right.
But
this is the Gentiles awakening mm-hmm. or not.
Okay, I think that we are in the outer court.
I do,
yeah. But I think too, he's saying, you know about me. I want you to know me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lots of people know about God.
But that's not enough.
They don't know him.
No. Well, and the only way you're going to know him
is his word.
Is yes.
Yes.
What a gift.
Who studies anymore?
Yeah.
What churches even have? There used to be a Wednesday night Bible study. And you went. It wasn't the preacher. I mean, it was study. You went mm-hmm. verse by verse. Most churches don't even open on Wednesday night anymore.
Most churches don't have confirmation for young people anymore.
Well, they don't have Sunday school.
No.
COVID has taken away the Sunday school, which is where they learn the little stories and stuff. But that's all such a lie of the devil. All such a lie.
Yeah.
But this, what you're doing, this home mm-hmm. group thing, I think there are thousands of them in this country happening. And I think that's what he expects us to do.
Chuck Missler's been preaching that for years.
He's been saying for 25 years.
If you get over 10 people, you need to split. Isn't that what he would say?
Well, and he said, that's where you're going to learn. That's where you're going to grow. That's where you're going to make forever friends. Mm-hmm. Get out of your church and get into a house.
Mm-hmm.
Put on a pot of coffee and get out your Bibles.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the cookies and the cobbler.
And Rahab, at the bottom of page 63, one woman exercised faith so great it gained for her a good report from God and a place in two Bible Hall of Bible Halls of Fame, the lineage of Jesus and the elders of faith.
And that Hebrews 11 chapter are the giants of faith. Mm-hmm. And she's in it.
She's in it. Yeah.
Along with Isaiah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the big guns.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
I love Hebrews 11.
Mm-hmm. And it talks about how every circumstance of her life and society was against the exercising of such faith.
Yeah.
Her religion was against her. The people.
I bet her family made fun of her.
Oh, I'm sure.
Although they were glad at the end.
I wonder at what point she, you know, back then communication was not what it is. So how long did these people know in advance that they were going to be annihilated by the Israelites? So how long did she actually have for this conversion? Because she had a conversion.
She did.
And at some point, she decided that if there's anything I can do, and then that's who God sent the spies to. Uh-huh. Out of all those people.
Well, Noah experienced the same thing. How long did he kept telling them what was going on?
Oh, that was hundreds of years, wasn't it?
And nobody listened, but
we know Jeremiah prophesied and was probably 40 years and had one foreign eunuch that finally believed. 40 years, and he was faithful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was. His life was not good.
No.
Not at all.
To meet him. What a guy.
Yeah. Well, the Bible's full of a lot of those people.
I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited.
Yep.
I'm going to be in eternity talking and yakking with some of the heroes of our faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good thing you have 1,000 years, Linda.
Well, that's just the beginning.
I know, but you can get a lot done in 1,000 years. But we've already talked about, you know, her faith. And her possessions that she was able to get just because she asked for it. And it kind of goes along.
Believed.
Yeah, she believed. But, you know, we've all heard the expression that, you know, people don't ask enough from God because they don't talk to God.
That's why we're asking for this revival.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to ask and we're going to keep on asking.
Mm-hmm. Did it be exactly what he wants it to
exactly.
be?
Exactly. And he worked out all the
And the people who need to be there will be.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who'd think a little grade school teacher from Towanda, Kansas would have 800 acres to have a revival on?
No one.
No. I mean, it's all those things that come together.
That had a dad who believed and spent his whole life witnessing and that had a heritage of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it all comes together, just like it did in Rahab's life.
It had to be for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's for sure.
We draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll walk it. That'll be fun. Mm-hmm.
A scarlet line would represent the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I still, when you think of how far back it goes, it is really mind-boggling to me, because God knew it all from the beginning.
I think it goes back to, like I said, when he clothed them with those skins.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first shedding of the blood.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
They didn't need it before, because they were perfect in his sight. They didn't need the blood redemption before, till the evil one came in.
Yeah, what were those angels doing that were supposed to be guarding those entryways?
Well, at that point, Satan walked among them. I mean, he had free entrance into the Eden.
But he'd already fallen.
He'd fallen,
but he could go anywhere he wanted.
Actually, he has a right to go before God now.
Mm-hmm.
He's not being kicked out totally yet.
Mm-hmm.
That happens, remember, in Revelation.
Yeah.
When he has then no more access to the heavenlies. He's still going before God right now,
mm-hmm.
taking our names.
He can. The demons can. The ones that can.
I'm talking the Satan.
Yeah.
Oh, the fallen angels that fell.
They're stuck here.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of them are in Tartarus, chained
right.
up.
Right.
Yeah, that's 200 are chained up in Tartarus.
So I have a question, but I'll try to remember for after this, because it's got more to do with what's coming up in our studies in the future than right now.
Okay.
You bet.
It's going
to
get.
I would have to write it down, Travis.
Well, I'm going to try to remember.
I
would
too.
So
oh,
don't
dear.
Tarry.
Okay, I'm right there with you. Okay, bottom of page 67.
No.
Tell the people not to be concerned over my soon appearing because of lost loved ones. Tell them to name them to me in prayer. Those whose names they call to me in faith, I will see that they make it if I have to wrestle them on their beds in the nighttime. And that was a Mrs. Jeannie Wilkerson of Tulsa.
Yeah.
And she said the Lord spoke to her and told her that.
Yeah.
I love it.
I do. What a promise.
Yeah.
Teacher.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
What a promise.
Yep. Teacher of the Word and a woman of prayer. So my prayer list needs to be longer.
Mine too.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get up any earlier.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I got a lot to pray about.
Mm-hmm. If a Canaanite's harlot's faith can protect family and goods, how much more can a New Testament believer's faith in the power in the blood of the risen Redeemer protect loved ones and possessions?
Absolutely.
And I think that's something we can really hold on to. And if we cannot draw a bloodline around our loved ones and property in this hour of peril and even judgment, then we do not have the better covenant based on better promises. But we know that we can, and we have been. I think ever since I became aware of it, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah.
But it's a different way of thinking than what we were taught.
What is she doing?
What is she doing?
She's finally coming back. But...
Sorry.
The last thing I want to talk about, when tokens are signs.
Yes, they are.
And I hadn't thought about that either. It says the first Passover in Egypt was a token, and it calls Rahab's scarlet cord a token. Tokens are a sign, they are to be displayed. So.
That's why I hate that something as evil as the Pride move has taken the rainbow. I refuse to let them do that. I put rainbows on everything. I'm sorry. It was God's.
It is God's sign.
It's God's sign.
That's right.
It's not some way.
And I think that's why they took it.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Well, they took off the cup with colors, too.
Oh, did they?
Noel and I draw rainbows on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's God's promise.
We are to continually display the token of the blood of Jesus and its power over the doorsteps and boundaries of our life. And we do that by faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we do.
In August, so should we add chapter 14?
Yes.
Okay. I'll write that down.
11 through 14.
14 is like three pages long.
Yeah, there.
Yeah.
So we'll do four chapters for August.
11 through 14.
And tell me those three.
Oh, I have to write.
Well, I have to too.
Okay, I got to find it again. Because I knew when I was praying and studying, God said, this is how you draw the bloodline for the revival.
Provision, protection, and permission.
Yeah, that's how
provision,
we pray.
Provision, protection,
permission.
As we draw the blood, that's what we pray for.
And permission?
Yeah, because we have to get
permits.
And it was like he just instantly said, this is how you pray the scarlet thread around your land.
Okay.
Pray for provision, protection, and permission.
Okay.
And every day pray for that.
Okay. And you're going to form an LLC?
Yes.
And shall we shut this on?
Yes.
You just push the, you know, no, the big space button.
This one.
Just push it.